Acts chapter 26, verses 18 through 20, we actually looked at this passage in our Sunday school class, and if I turn on my clicker, it'll probably move it. I want us to read this through. This is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was arrested in his life for spreading the gospel. He gets before the king, and he starts to tell his story. He was actually given the privilege. He had been arrested and kept in prison for some time by now, and he was given the privilege to make his own case, serve as his own lawyer, be his own witness, and he takes it and appears before the king, and this is the portion of his testimony. While thus occupied, as I journeyed, he was talking about what happened to him years before. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to the things which you have seen and to the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The verses just before, and the slide before this, he said, God said to him, he was going to be a witness. He was to, one of his purposes were to talk about Jesus. Now, it's really important to recognize that the Apostle Paul was a very, very committed individual prior to his Damascus Road conversion to a follower of Christ. He was absolutely leading the charge on persecuting and arresting Christians. And he was doing a commendable job, if that's a, you know, it's a horrible job to have, but he was very effective in doing so. And then God gets a hold of him and he says, here is your, I'm sending you to do this, to open their eyes in order that they turn from darkness to light and from power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified, means set apart by faith, belief in Jesus Christ. Me as Jesus Christ there. No minor statement. What was Paul's objective for life after the Damascus experience? What was it?
To get the word out.
To get the word out. And it just as it states here, he saw and he understood clearly he had a responsibility to others. That's an important thing here. This man had a vocation. He was a tent maker. He apparently was a reasonably good one because he was able to do enough tent making to pay his way, even though he could have only been doing it part-time because he was doing so many other things. That's pretty commendable in his own right. And his real role was to be a witness, to open the eyes of those who didn't understand life so that they could go from darkness to light. They could find victory over the power of Satan and experience the power of God in their life. Know of anybody that could use that? To go from darkness to light? To go from the power of Satan controlling their life to the power of God controlling their life? That they may experience forgiveness? Think about that one. How many people do we know? And I say this tragically, even among Christians. Many, many people who, in many cases, I believe are genuine believers, have for whatever reason been unable to recognize the completeness of God's forgiveness for our past. That is a tremendous biblical truth. He forgives us and cleanses from all unrighteousness. a huge truth. Because you know what? Do you think you grow, you live for a while, that you can do some things that you wished you wouldn't have? Oh man, I say that for myself. The list is staggeringly embarrassing. But the only good part about it is I've gone to the Lord with the ones that I have remembered, and the Lord has forgiven me. Now, who gave him his purpose?
Jesus.
Jesus did. God did. God gave him a purpose for life. You know, the interesting part of it, the good part about it, by the way, I want you to recognize that this is really important. He, unlike many others, recognized it. He recognized, whoa, God wants me to do something, and he wants me to do this, because he was able to witness to it. Now, here's the scary truth. Many people that profess to know Jesus Christ, when asked what is their objective for life, struggle to identify a biblical goal or objective. God has a specific plan for Paul's life. He was saved for that purpose, and he was saved out of a wretched life of persecuting and possibly and likely been in, he was a complicit with the murder of other people. How bad is that? Okay, that's pretty bad. And he was literally part of this plan because these other people were genuinely worshiping Christ. Do you think under some circumstances that might carry with you a little while? You might feel a little guilty about that one? I can understand humanly speaking why, but he was able to experience forgiveness. The moment Paul met Jesus, his life objective changed. That's what he gave testimony to in this part that I just read. He was walking down there. He was on the road to Damascus to arrest and persecute Christians. Jesus connects with him, and he becomes a saved individual, and he's never again going to do that. As a matter of fact, he's going to do just the opposite. He goes from persecuting to promoting and encouraging and seeking out others to be believers. When we meet Jesus, what sort of change should there be in our life objectives? Think back to when you came to know Christ. Or maybe you have to think about doing it today. How has your objective for life changed? You know, I know some people that have accepted Christ at a young age, you know, 10, 12, even younger, lived for the Lord for a period of time, and then got into their teen years and started to make all sorts of rotten choices and really, really messed up. Really, you know, by every standard. I mean, I'm not talking just from a Christian point of view. I'm talking about the world looks at this. That is a wasted life. And then they come to their senses. They repent of that direction. And it's easy in that situation to be overwhelmed with getting our act together, which means changing our behavior so that we fit in with those that are living responsible. And there's nothing wrong with that. What does it talk about at the end of this verse? He wanted to help them, those who are sanctified, set apart. That's what it means. So there ought to be a change in that regard. But let me say this. If that's all you're about, you're missing your purpose. Getting your act together or getting my act together is not the purpose God has given us for life. Because when we think in those terms, it's all about us. It is still about us. We're still living selfishly. We need to live recognizing that you're here and you have, the mere fact that we have breath and health, we need to be using it to further his causes, not ours. Now, that's a scary thing to think about, but it is so easy in our culture to feel really good about making changes so our life gets together, and it's all about us. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to not make some changes to get our life together because we're a more usable tool. But that's not the goal. You get my point? It's got to be more than that. That's why I was thrilled this last two weeks working with one couple. We really don't see them around here, but I have been working with them quite a bit over a period of time. The two of them were split up. They had two little kids. And they didn't have enough money, and they didn't pay the gas bill. And the heat was turned off. Now, I felt really bad about it because I know the little kids, and it was kind of, you know, I kind of wanted to jump in there and do something. But I saw God at work. You know what? This couple, who haven't been together for a while, came to the conclusion that, you know what, we got to get over ourselves. This is their own words, by the way. We recognize, this is their words to me, we recognize we got to get over ourselves, and it isn't about us. And they've moved back together and says, you know what? We have a responsibility to these kids we brought into this world. And we just got to get our act together. And their petty arguments that they're having says, it's not the event. Now, I have all sorts of counsel for them that they're not open to about other issues. I'm not holding this, and I'm not giving you the details of who it is. But my point is, that's a step in the right direction because it's not about self. And you know what? I saw the kids this week. The little kids were happier just because mom and dad were working on the family. These are little kids, but they knew it. I'm telling you, you couldn't sit them down and have a dialogue about this, but I'm telling you, it was obvious to me. They knew it. Okay, so I'm trying to make a point here. Did Paul's new life objectives match the rest of the world? Did it? Did it fit really well in with the rest of the world? No, it fits in so well that he was arrested. He was incarcerated because it was so opposite to what the rest of the world wanted. He was telling others about Jesus so much that they put him in jail. That's what happened. So did it go against the world? Absolutely. And before, by the way, he was quite popular. Is the way you are living today, just think about your own life now, the way you're living life right now, is it leading others towards the Lord, or is it modeling the path to the world? Are you more accepted by the world or more accepted by Christ? There is a need for us to recognize that we're not here as the center of attention, the main attraction. The world is not supposed to be revolving around us. We're here on a purpose. And we've got to ask ourselves, what does God want us to do, and then be about it? In Philippians, Paul comes back to his testimony. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. So the Apostle Paul was a very learned man. He was a very capable man. And he said, you know what? What I had before was big is a loss for Christ. For indeed I have counted all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Understand what he just said? He had lost all of his things that mattered in this world, but he viewed them, that's garbage. It doesn't matter. I don't care about that because I want to serve the Lord. He found, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This last portion, if you are a believer, I don't know that everyone in here is a believer, But if you are a believer, you really ought to think about what this is saying and say to yourself, man, can I get a hold of this? Because it transforms the way we face the problems of this world. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What is that saying? I can die and I'm coming back to life. That it doesn't matter what happens to me physically. The fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, that's what I'm looking to be. I'm trying to model myself after the life of Christ. And if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead, and you know what? Any of us who genuinely know Jesus Christ have that as a guarantee. We're going to live for eternity with him. What a thrilling truth. Now, I had a couple of questions. I thought, in this letter, people from Philippi, what does Paul say was his goal for life? And to experience the righteousness. And really, it says it even in a broader sense right in the eighth verse. It is, he explains that, but right up here is what he is. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. He wanted to know Jesus. He didn't want to know about him. That word know is an emphasis on intimate knowledge of him, experiencing him to the fullest. Now that is a thrill. You know, I think of, you know, J.R., you gave your testimony earlier of facing the surgery, and you didn't share with the group that you were excited because the doctor's coming to town that's doing this experimental practice or procedure. That's how bad his situation is. He's waiting for open-heart surgery from someone who's doing an experimental surgery. Well, that's pretty grim. But you know what? We can face this with Jesus. And there, because it's beyond this life. There is nothing this world can take from us that is eternally significant. We've got Jesus. How many open-heart surgeries have you faced, brother? 3, 4? I can't remember how many it is. It's a lot. Yeah, but the point is, you can go through this thing and not go through it, but if we go through it with Jesus and we keep our focus on what's really eternally important, it gets us through. Other people have lost their marriages, lost their children, and lost this and lost that until it just brings you to tears. And I'm not making light of that. I've had my own heartbreak in my family life. I know what it is like to see, whoa, I can't believe this has happened. But you know what? Even after experiencing that, there's joy in Jesus. There's peace in Jesus. There's a peace that goes with this. If we make our purpose serving him, like the Apostle Paul, and not ourself. If it's all about us having great things here and a good life and everything going smooth, well, then I'll tell you what, most people's lives are real shipwrecks. But if it is about getting our act together so that we are really usable tools for the Master, that's what gives us hope. We just take today and say, all right, back there is a bunch of garbage. It's a lot of trouble, a lot of problems, and a lot of things I wish I could go back and do over again, but I can't. So Lord, forgive me for the times I have sinned and chosen poorly, but now give me a vision for what you do today. And allow me to live with power and might today for your glory, not mine. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, particularly, but look, 33 and 34 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's not a bad thing to start off with, isn't it? That's what you and I ought to start it off the day with. You know, yesterday I had a couple... I really had a couple mountains that we were facing, just trying to work through. You know, just things that when I look back at a day later, I say, well, you know what were they? You know, it was really, really nothing, actually. In eternity, they probably mean nothing. But yet they were pretty stressful yesterday. But you know what? What's important is how we go through that for Jesus. I remember facing the one situation, and it turned out all of us were Christians, and we just prayed. Which is, you know, it was an odd setting because it wasn't in a Christian setting, but we're all together, and turns out we're all believers, and we just prayed, and God had His hand in it, and it worked out well. Seek first the kingdom of God. Every one of us ought to meditate on what that means for us. What does God want us to do? What does that look like to seek His kingdom? Seek the furtherment of His message, who He is and what He does for lives. And all those things shall be added to you. Therefore, listen to this one, do not worry about tomorrow. Boy, that is different than the way the majority are living. Do not worry for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, you know what? Here's the point. I'm closing with this, by the way. Here's the point. You got two choices. You can get consumed by the world and all of its pressures and all the mistakes we've made and all of the other garbage that has come along with our life, and here we are. And you can be overwhelmed with, I don't know what to do, and just sit there. Literally, many, many, many people collapse under this pressure because God does not intend for us to look at life that way. He intends for us to take the rest of tonight and all day tomorrow and every day going forward to get up and say, how can I live for Him? How can I seek first the kingdom of God? And if you will do that, I guarantee you, if you are a believer and you make that your purpose, you will start to find a joy and a peace. You just seek Him in the midst of whatever storm you find yourself in. How can I glorify God in the midst of this? You get to experience the blessings of, like, walking into that hospital room this morning at about 8 o'clock and seeing someone who had back surgery and had been in pain for a month, sitting on the edge of her bed and smiling. I said, you know what? What a blessing. I am so glad the Lord just caused me to just jump in the car and drive out to Coon Rapids to visit her. Because it made my day. It really helped me just get focused for the rest of the day. Do you understand my challenge for tonight? Let's, as a group of us, just decide we're not going to be overwhelmed with our worries. God has said, be careful for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, make a request, be known unto God. And He'll give us the peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And we are to follow the model of the Apostle Paul. The things that you've seen and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. And that's my heart's desire for you tonight. That you'll live the rest of this week and all the rest of the days of your life in the peace of God, with the God of peace. Not overwhelmed by your worries and burdens, but challenged and excited about seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen.